And thank you for listening to Counterspin on KMUN, Coast Community Radio. Coming up next is a conversation with myself, Graham Nystrom. Going out on a limb and taking a crack at hosting today, I hope that you'll call in with your comments, questions, and ideas. Today's topic is going to cover journalism, the media, and a polarized population, red versus blue, Democrat versus Republican. Aren't we all American folks? Can we get together and create solutions for the problems that we all face? So that's coming up in just a moment. But first, I want to let you know that support for this program comes in part from Blue Scorcher Bakery Cafe, baking up community one loaf at a time, located at 15th and Duane in Astoria, now with online pizza ordering by going to bluescorcher.coop, open daily, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Welcome to The Conversation. That's John Williams playing Asturias Leyenda by Isaac Albeniz, Spanish composer. One of my favorite pieces. Want to thank Gabe and Dylan for handling the phones today, and Dylan for doing a fine job as always with the morning news. You just heard Counterspin, which is a fine example of journalism, in my humble opinion. What do you think of Counterspin? What do you think of NPR? What do you think of Fox News? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the media and the role it plays in educating us, keeping us apprised of current events. Does the media create the opportunity for us to find solutions to our problems, or does it just narrate the nightmare? I want to know what your thoughts are. Let's talk about this. Let's have a conversation. 503-325-0010. I know that if you're listening to this radio station right now, you are a listener of the news and you care. And that's important. And so tell us how we're doing as a station with our news coverage. And tell us what we could be doing better. What are some of the things that you feel like are covered appropriately in the news? What are some things that are covered inappropriately in the news? Is there a way that journalism can do better to serve the American public? 503-325-0010. I'm dying to know what you think. And I thought that phone would have been flashing by now, so please give me a call. This is a unique radio program to our station. We haven't had it for very long. We love the fact that we can get your voice on the air. We want to hear from you. This is your community radio station. This station was built to give you a voice and to allow the community to talk to itself. So let's take advantage of it. 503-325-0010. What do you think about the role of journalism in the media today? Is it doing a good job? Could it be better? I want to throw out a personal opinion that I think there's a little bit of a divide and conquer thing going on. So let's hear from you. Give us a call. Looks like we've got a caller. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
I'm on the air now? Okay. I have a concern that if I listen to any public radio or a pay-for-profit radio, that the news is very similar, that we don't go beyond what a print media might be putting out, like a Daily Astorian locally or the Oregonian. If I listen to KAST in the morning with Tom Friel for a little bit, it's the same kind of things if I listen at 8 or 9 o'clock on NPR. So we get just a very little view of what our world is.
Are you saying it's a two sides of the same coin kind of a thing?
Yes.
How can we do better? What could improve the situation?
I would think that NPR could go beyond mass media and look maybe at TYT or other sources that are doing a lot of research, but we don't seem to be doing that very much.
Yeah, I think that NPR genuinely wants to do a good job. I visited NPR headquarters in April, and it was a meeting of station managers from around the country, and our station is one of the smallest NPR affiliates in the entire country, and so some of these bigger organizations that have a significant news budget you know, they've got a big responsibility and they've got a lot of power. And I do think that it is their role to do their best to not only cover the news, but and there's, I think there's a little bit of a movement in this direction towards what they call solutions journalism. And that is, you know, not just focusing on the problem, but also looking at ways those problems can be solved.
I would like that.
that's good. Me too. Are you comfortable with me asking if you identify as a Democrat or a Republican?
I have probably been a Democrat since my freshman year in college. At that time, I was working for Packwood. And I got him in because he was a Gray Panther-type supporter and was looking at more social involvement. And then he got a little bit busy with two young girls. But, you know, there was a lot more similarity as far as my interest in both Republicans and Democrats go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been that way my entire life. But I now think that I'm fairly progressive, and I've been, since college, Democrat.
So what does it mean to you to be a progressive Democrat?
It means that I think that democracy means that our country is supportive of people and of things that make people better all around. It doesn't go to special class of people. It means the general world is made better because people work together.
Do you think that that is overly idealistic, or do you think it's possible?
I think it's a way that I'm working towards something. When people are involved in their community, in their state, in their country, then if they are doing something that works for the betterment of all, if they work for infrastructure, if they work for medical, if they work for education, if they are thinking that when we are all take a step up, we are all better. And I don't think that's not attainable.
You can call me naive and an optimist, but it's been my personal experience that overwhelmingly people are good, no matter what your political affiliation is. And
that is very true.
I know that there is badness in the world, or evil, or whatever you might refer to it. And I think maybe anything that you know, strips us of our dignity would fit in that category. And I think that divide and conquer politics falls into that basket. 503-325-0010 is the number. Please join the conversation. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Nope. I love this program.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm.
So one thought that comes to mind is the role that education plays in creating an informed population that's capable of what they call critical thinking. That was something that I studied a lot during my philosophy degree in college, and I really gained an appreciation for critical thinking and the need for it. I'm also a fan of the writing of Rudolf Steiner, because he felt that education was the number one source of therapy for a society that has ills. Do you think that our society is chugging along full steam ahead? Things are great. Do you think that there are issues with our society? What are some of the top issues? I know that I've heard a lot about climate change lately. And I think that there is a lot of propaganda on both sides of the aisle regarding climate change. And I think that that is one area where the polarization currently is most severe. And so if you're a Democrat and you're concerned about climate change, and you say, how can science not be taken seriously by the population, no matter what your political leaning is? But you have to understand that you're hearing one story, and the people that think or believe differently than you are hearing a different story. And so how do we reconcile the different stories that we're being told and come to an agreement? If you're a Republican and you're not concerned about climate change because you've been informed that it's not caused by humans or it's part of a natural warming and cooling cycle of the Earth, I'm sure that there are valid arguments for that. If you're a Democrat and You think that, or you've been informed that humans cause climate change and that the world is going to end in 3 years because there will be no more breathable air, or a significant portion of the population won't survive when a major drought happens after all the reservoirs have dried. So can we talk about climate change a little bit? I'd like to hear your opinions, your thoughts, what you've learned, how you came to your conclusions about climate change, and whether or not it presents a danger to the population or to the environment or to species, to ourselves. Climate change is a hot topic, and it's a polarizing topic. And I think that that's just one of many examples of what I consider a divide and conquer method of media and news coverage. At what point do we start understanding what the real story is through the use of critical thinking? At what point can education instill a level of critical thinking to where we're not rooting for one team or the other? Does red versus blue resonate to you as effective politics, or do you agree that there's some divide and conquer stuff going on? We've got another call. You're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Hello. Boy, you've bitten off some big topics to chew on.
That's how I roll.
I think one of the troubles is our whole society has always been the individual and rising and making good, and it's not a very collaborative model. And I think some societies are far more collaborative and help each other, and the corporate model has really played off on that. My favorite economic model description of our present economic model is that privatization of profit, socialization of loss, and it's predatory capitalism. And it has really worked hard to indoctrinate us, and I would put NPR in that category too. There's certain things that they have a message on that's, to me, really wrong. Like every time the Venezuelan President Maduro is brought up, he's called a dictator. Jimmy Carter's election inspection team find that it's one of the best election models in the world. And Maduro didn't win by a landslide the last time, but he handily won. And yet NPR always calls him a dictator. And I could go on other instances where it's I'm very critical at times. I would love to be more affiliated with KBOO and their news because they are an affiliated partner with us.
What do you like about KBOO's news?
I think they are less of the programmed policy line. They have some really interesting connections with frontline people. So when there's something on Haiti, I really love Flashpoints out of Berkeley. And when he brings on somebody from Haiti, they totally are right there on the streets for decades in Haiti and really know what they're talking about.
So you're saying that Flashpoints is a good example of journalism?
I think so, yes. And NPR does really cover climate change now, which I'm very thankful of. And I totally agree with you about finding common ground. I live out in the country. My farm is in Jewell, and half my friends are Trump supporters. And I've worked really hard to, to understand the allure of Trump. And I don't like that man at all. But I think I really understand the allure of him to a lot of people.
And let's dig into that a little bit more. I think that's an interesting topic. I was raised in a house where both sides of my parents. You know, my parents' parents were all Republicans. My parents were Republicans. And so I was essentially raised, you know, I think the first time I cast a vote when I was 17 was for Bob Dole for president. And in retrospect, I'm not sure that that was, you know, who I would have voted for today. Though, you know, I wish I could say that I had more faith in the role of the president being able to bring about significant change. You know, I think there was a lot of optimism in the Democratic Party when Obama was elected, and I know that he did fantastic things in office. But I think it's also an indicator that it's a bigger, there's more momentum, there's more inertia to the government than what one person can do to change that. And so, you know, you mentioned your neighbors, and this is something that I think about a lot as the station manager of a radio station that serves this area, where I know for a fact that a good deal of the population is Republican, and I want them to feel like this is their community radio station too. And I'm not really sure how to do that. And so that's why I chose this as a topic, is because I am hoping to hear from people from both sides of the aisle to hear about, you know, ways that we can reconcile differences, ways that we can agree. You know, I've gotten feedback from listeners that there is too much Trump bashing on our station. And, you know, I don't want that to be what we're known for, regardless of how I or any staff member or any volunteer or any listener feels. You know, I just don't think that that's productive media. And I'd like to see us be a good example of how media can be productive. So if you have thoughts about this, please give us a call, 503-325-0010. How much do party lines matter when it's your next door neighbor that needs to borrow a cup of sugar? At what point do we acknowledge that we're all Americans and we're on the same side? And at what point do we start asking tough questions that maybe uncover truths about the way, you know, I hate to use the word propaganda because it's a loaded term, but I think it's important. I think that all media is manufactured for a purpose, and that, you know, that can be defined as propaganda. So 503-325-0010, we're talking about journalism, we're talking about partisan politics, and how we can come together. There is a movement called Solutions Journalism, and I'd like our station to take a role in that. I know that our news director, Joanne Rideout, is working on a story about homelessness in the area, and she's very interested in approaching that from a solutions standpoint as well, rather than just making it a narration of this is what's happening. You know, how can we use media to make positive changes in our culture? And did you have any other thoughts for us today?
Well, I think that you're reaching out to everybody in the county is a wonderful idea. And I agree with you, we don't need more Trump bashing. It's everywhere. And so I would love to talk to you sometime more on that. And thank you for the show.
Yeah, thank you for calling. This is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. This is your community radio station, and we take pride in keeping the public informed about issues that face us on a local level and on a national level. What are some issues that are important to you? What do you think we can be doing as a station to make some of those changes? If you've got a comment or question for The Conversation, please call 503-325-0010. The topic today is journalism, media, and partisan politics. We've got another call. Hi, you're on the air. You're on the air. What's your comment or question?
I have two. The first is about our local news coverage. And I would really appreciate it if this side of the river, maybe Washington, but covered as well, particularly politically. I think it would be helpful if, in addition to Betsy's half-hour every week, that we have at least some attempt to get some of the people up here to make their positions known in a way that the local people can actually get to hear them. And the second is about this show. I have no problem with any topic being discussed on air or in private. I have no problem with anybody holding any position they choose for any reason they choose, as long as we can talk about it. My problem is when the discussion is predicated upon hidden agenda. And I think sometimes on this show, you did not today in any way hide your point of view. And that does not, I think, detract from the capacity for anybody to chime in. Because you said, this is my point of view, but I'd like to hear yours.
That's and the point
I'd
of the show.
Way ahead of some of the conversations that have been on the show before, where there was an agenda, but it was never acknowledged.
Well, I'm happy to report to you that, you know, when that happens or happened, that was talked about. We have a group called the Community Advisory Board. It's a group of local folks who represent different demographics of our listenership. And we talked about that, and we acknowledged that it was a problem. And so this is a new show for the radio station. It's a new format. And starting a new show where the hosts are largely volunteer-based, we don't have a team of producers like a bigger station with a more well-funded newsroom would have, it's a gamble, and it's a risk. And I think that any host of this show has good intentions, you know, wants to start a conversation. But I think that good journalism is a skill. It's not easy. I think we're doing our best. and I hope that things only improve for this show and for the station moving forward.
I'm happy to hear that you had a discussion about it. I think it would help if there were written or oral guidelines and even better discussion about how to host such a show. Because this one today, you're doing a magnificent job. And I say that from the perspective of having listened to several that I had to turn off.
Well, thanks for keeping me on.
And thank you for opening up the ideas that no matter how different we are, Trump bashing serves no purpose except to make the person doing the bashing feel a little bit better for the moment. But let me voice my opinion that bashing anybody in the long run only damages yourself. So however strongly you feel about Trump or any other person, it might be better to look at yourself and see what has gotten you so worked up than it is to yell and scream about somebody who's never going to hear it and you're only going to hurt yourself. So thank you very much, and I'll go back to listening.
All right. Well, thank you for those wise words. Thank you for calling in. I think that I do want to make a disclaimer that anything I say is just my opinion. It doesn't reflect the mission of the station, but what I am trying to do is create a bridge to where maybe we can have better mutual understanding amongst ourselves. We can be as good a neighbors as possible. Looks like we've got another call. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Hi, I'm commenting because what you said about making the station a place that is more open to both liberal and perhaps conservative viewpoints, or at least making it a place where we don't bash conservative viewpoints, really resonated with me. I am a fairly liberal person, but I was raised by two very conservative people. And at some point in my life, I was spending a lot of time with my mom, and we listened to public radio every single day. And I was really pleased that my mom found public radio a place that she could listen to and enjoy and not feel attacked. And I would listen every day with her, and I felt at first kind of on guard. You know, was she going to hear things that were going to make her feel in the minority, or were they going to say things that were going to insult her constantly? And she didn't. But now when I listen to the radio, I hear not not necessarily on KMUN, but, you know, when I watch TV or hear things, I think, oh, that would really hurt her, or, oh, you know, that makes people who vote the way my mom might have sound stupid. And she wasn't stupid. She might have voted based on a set of beliefs that are outdated, or a set of beliefs that were maybe uninformed or based on ideals that the party abandoned. But it would hurt her to be referred to that way, and it certainly wouldn't convince her to look at politics in a different way. And I know that the people in my life who are conservative say to me now, you know, people say that all Trump voters are racist. I am truly not racist, but anybody who talks about me like that, you know, what's wrong with them? We're not convincing anyone when we speak that way about them. And so I hope that we can create an environment that is not so militant that there's not room for people to walk through the door and hear what we have to say.
Yeah, it's just really important to me that we serve the community, and that the community has to mean everyone.
Well, right, and plus, this is public radio. I do also think that the fact that tax dollars support KMUN should mean that we don't call so many tax-paying citizens idiots because of the way they might have voted. I think, you know, there is something to be said for that as well.
Agreed. And I think that, you know, your point about your folks voting Republican, you know, I love my parents very much, you know, and they're good people. And so are any relatives of mine who don't identify with the same political party that I do.
Right.
And so I would like to see us turn towards a more familial approach to each other. And I do think that education is a big piece of this, and that critical thinking skills are not developed enough in school. This is not new news. Mm-hmm. You know, my divide and conquer illusions go back to Roman times. Mm-hmm. And the first person to really speak and write about critical thinking was Socrates.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that you can't depend on those in authority to always have sound knowledge and insight. persons who have power or high position may still be deeply confused and irrational. And that is not Trump bashing. I'm saying that this is possible for anyone at any layer or level of power. So we're getting towards the top of the hour. Did you have any last thoughts for us today?
No, but I think this is a really good conversation, and I appreciate you approaching it in this way where we can all chime in and give us something to think about and take through our week. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I consider myself somewhat of a John Lennonist in a power to the people and come together sense. So thanks for that call. We've got another caller. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Hi, is this Graham?
It is indeed.
Well, this has been, I think, I just want to start off by saying this is a fantastic show so far. And similarly, when you were in your philosophy class, I think the biggest thing I took away from my philosophy course was the sentiment that you have to believe that your political opponents are just as smart as you are, but also just as well-intentioned.
Well said. And has anyone ever told you have a great voice for radio, sir?
I have gotten that occasionally from people.
Okay. Well, thanks for that call.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if you recognize that voice, but that sounded like a famous person to me. This is KMUN. This is The Conversation. I'm having a good time talking with you. And the number here is 503-325-0010. We can fit one or two more calls in before headline news at 10:01. And here we go. You're on the air. What's your comment or question?
My comment was, you know, you're doing the, you're obviously a fairly liberal station. And I was listening to the previous caller, talking about her mother and how she was so happy they could listen to a station like yours and not be offended. Unfortunately, it seemed to me that what she was really saying was that she would like to have her mother be able to change her misguided and outdated ideas. If you could make people realize that conservatives are not misguided and outdated, they just have a different set of views, and they would very much like for more progressive people to maybe be able to get a little more conservative. But that's basically it.
Yeah, I think that that's what at the heart of what I really wanted to get to today was that we are all on the same side, and we all have good intentions, and we all are doing our best, you know, to make our contribution to our country as a citizen, and to the world as a citizen of the world. Are you comfortable telling me whether you identify as a conservative or a liberal?
I'm a staunch conservative.
And do you listen to our station regularly?
No, actually, we're visiting from Washington State and just happened to have you turned on this morning. I don't normally listen to public radio because I do think there's a bias there that I don't appreciate, but I enjoyed your program, and I thought that the premise that you had for kind of getting together was a good one.
Well, thank you, sir, and we're glad you're here, and we're glad you listened.
So, yeah, well, it's, like I say, it's interesting, but really, people need to realize conservatives don't have a bad point of view, and to a liberal, I believe that's exactly what they feel, is that this is a misguided, bad view. It's not. So.
Well, I sure appreciate your call, and that is all the time we have for today. This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, on the web at coastradio.org. And we're going to head into headline news just a couple seconds late.
Accused of using a chokehold that resulted in Eric Garner's death 5 years ago should be fired. The decision comes weeks after the Justice Department declined to bring federal charges against the officer, outraging Garner's family and civil rights activists. Remember, station WNYC, Yasmin Khan has more.
The judge found that, yes, Officer Daniel Pantaleo used a chokehold, a banned procedure, and is recommending that Pantaleo be fired, though the police commissioner has final say in disciplining officers for misconduct. The judge, who works for the NYPD, issued her decision privately to the attorneys involved because of a state law shielding police personnel records. The outcome was leaked to the public. The departmental trial started in May, nearly 5 years after Garner.